How did you become a member of your church? Maybe you were baptized as a baby. Maybe you gave your heart to the Lord during an altar call or simply signed a register. Some people feel that all that's necessary to be a member of a church is to show up at worship services. Did you know that the New Testament church had a ritual a person had to go through to be considered a member? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Although most churches have some kind of formal procedures for admitting believers into their group, their practices differ greatly. Each seems to take a different road. For those who teach baptism, even their baptism ceremonies are different. Some sprinkle or pour, others fully immerse believers in a stream or lake. Various groups baptize babies, others say that you shouldn't do that. Still others believe there's no need for baptism at all. All Christian groups claim to obtain their authority from the Bible. Is there biblical authority for such a widely divergent belief and custom concerning baptism? And does it really matter to you and, more importantly, to God? 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist called people to repent and be baptized. John told those who came to him, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Here in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist teaches about three different kinds of baptisms: baptism by water, by spirit, and by fire. What does he mean? If you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one, because today we're going to talk about baptisms. Not baptism, but baptisms, plural. And see what the New Testament teaches about baptism by water, spirit, and fire. Once again, we are privileged to have with us in our studios minister, teacher, and counselor, Gary Antion. Gary, welcome back.
Thank you, Gary. It's nice to be back with you on the Good News Radio program.
Okay. Why should we be taking time to discuss baptism? I mean, is this really biblically important?
Well, Gary, because baptism is recognized by virtually all the Christian churches as one of the two major rites or sacraments that are required of Christians if they desire to be saved and have eternal life. Jesus Christ said, and Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, and our teacher, our rabbi, Jesus Christ said in Mark 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." So baptism is a salvation issue.
Okay, now John the Baptist mentions three different baptisms. Let's start with water baptism. What is water baptism?
Well, water baptism is the experience by which a person shows his faith, repentance, and commitment to God and Jesus Christ by voluntarily giving him or herself up in a type of a watery grave. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is depicted in this meaningful act. The believer pictures acceptance of Christ's sacrifice on his behalf, as well as shows his own belief, repentance, and commitment to walk with God and the hope of eternal life in this important rite. Romans 6, verses 3 to 6 covers this information, whereby it talks about these pictures in baptism in that watery grave.
Now, you said a minute ago that it was a salvation issue. Are you saying that water baptism is required of Christians? I mean, that this is something that God actually expects or requires Christians to do?
Yes, absolutely. Jesus Christ identified it as one of the major doctrines of the church in Hebrews 6, talked about it being one of the foundational principles of the church.
So the idea that we just come to Jesus and then receive salvation, that's not entirely true.
Not if you believe Jesus Christ's words, Mark 16, verse 18.
Okay, now next John talked about baptism by the Spirit. So that's something different. What did he mean by baptism?
Well, in Acts 2, verses 38 and 39, we read that after baptism, one receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that comes from the laying on of hands, Acts 8 and verse 17, And Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2 talk about the laying on of hands after baptism for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Receiving God's Holy Spirit makes a person a Christian. Romans 8 and verse 9 says, if you have the Spirit of Christ, you are one of His. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. And that receiving of the Holy Spirit places one in the body of Christ or baptizes them into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13 talks about by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body. So being baptized by the Spirit, we understand to mean being joined together with other Spirit-filled Christians in the body of Christ, His church, being plunged into, being immersed into the body of believers.
And that's interesting. You say that you have to have or receive God's Spirit to be a Christian. And also this concept of laying out of hands. You really don't hear much about laying out of hands in much of Christianity.
Well, major Christian denominations do teach that. They call it confirmation. Catholics teach it. Orthodox teach it. Several of the Christian churches do practice that, but I don't know that they specify it in the same way as we might.
Okay. So what you're saying is, though, that this laying on of hands is another ritual or sacrament that is expected.
Oh, absolutely. It follows. Now, certainly, we as human beings cannot bind God to anything.
Right.
However, God has given the Holy Spirit before baptism, after which Paul's case and a few other cases where they actually received the Spirit and said, well, can a person forbid water baptism, that they should not be baptized? And they were baptized afterwards. But that's the exception as opposed to the rule. The regular standard of Scripture is believe, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit.
So we're not talking about magic. You know, you're baptized, hands laid on you, now magic takes place. God
No.
does this by His will, but He still these are issues of obedience.
Absolutely, and it's what God says to do. It's what God gives as the example in Scripture, and that's what we try to follow.
Baptism by fire. Now, what is that? And let me ask you, do you want it? We'll be back to discuss baptism by fire right after this.
Life today is a lonely wilderness of confusion. While hundreds of different religions ponder the question of eternal life, most people are totally confused about what it is and what the Bible actually says. By calling 1-800-966-9232 now, you can have your copy of The Road to Eternal Life, a booklet which will teach you what Jesus Christ and the prophets said about the true spiritual way to successful living and the process leading to life eternal. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Road to Eternal Life. There will be no follow-up or request for money. It's absolutely free. Find out about living your life to its full, wonderful potential. Call now for your copy of The Road to Eternal Life. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
On today's Good News Radio, we're talking about three kinds of baptisms mentioned in the New Testament. Now, most people think of water baptism, but there's actually three different kinds of baptisms that are mentioned. We're discussing this with Gary Antion, who teaches comparative religions at Ambassador Bible Center. Now, so far we've covered baptism by water and baptism by spirit. Now, the third kind of baptism that John the Baptist talks about there in Matthew is probably the most misunderstood. Baptism by fire. What is baptism by fire?
Well, baptism by fire is certainly something people should not desire. And while many confuse baptism with fire with the Pentecostal experience at the first Pentecost, when tongues of fire appeared on the heads of all the apostles as they received the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues at that time, they were not immersed in the fire. But when you talk about baptism, you talk about the Greek word baptizo, which has to do with being immersed, being fully wet. If you're talking about being fully immersed in fire, you're talking about being burned. You're talking about being burned up. Baptism with fire means being immersed in the lake of fire as a final punishment. And scriptural references to that would be Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12, and Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. You do not want the baptism of fire.
Now, you mentioned how, of course, many people believe that what happened there in Acts chapter 2 was this baptism of fire. But as you said, I guess they weren't immersed in that, were they?
No, they were not immersed in the fire that came upon them, but they were like tongues of fire lapping out from them and appeared on them, not within them, and certainly they were not immersed in the fire. Baptism means to be immersed or wet with water, like you might dye a piece of cloth. Speaking in tongues was a purposeful experience, not to be used in any inappropriate way.
And so when we talk about baptism of fire, we're talking about eternal judgment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Having to do with the final judgment on humankind. The final. It is hotter than the hell that's typically taught. Because this one, they don't continue to burn in. It burns them.
It is annihilation then.
It is.
Yeah. So Christians should seek water baptism, and they should seek baptism of the Spirit, but we do not want to seek baptism of fire.
No, you do not.
Okay. What must a person do in order to be baptized? I mean, is it just something anybody can go do, or is it they have to do something first?
Well, baptism is the most serious step a person must take in this life. This spiritual action will affect a person's eternity. A person should believe in Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, the coming King and High Priest. They should read what Jesus Christ did for them in the latter chapters of the Gospels, what he went through, so that they might appreciate what he did for them, not only at his death, but even prior to his death, the sufferings he went through to pay the penalty of sin. Paul said that Christ became sin for us. He took upon him all the sins of the world. They should accept that. They should let God and Jesus Christ know that they accept him as their personal Savior. They should also come to the place where they see their ways versus God's ways and come to reject their ways, that is, repent of their sins and accept God's way completely. They should then determine if they are committed to following God's ways for the remainder of their lives. Baptism should not be a momentary emotional decision.
You know, this really flies in the face, though, of a concept many people have that Christianity is just some moment where you suddenly give your heart to the Lord, and now you are a new person. I mean, there's actually requirements then for baptism.
Oh, absolutely. And God talks about turning to him with your whole heart. God talks about rejecting your ways, forsaking your ways, and accepting his. God talks about seeing his ways as higher and better than ours as the heavens are above the earth. So there is a commitment involved. There's a desire to walk with him and follow him, not a momentary feeling of remorse, but that feeling of remorse that could lead to a deeper repentance and saying, I'm ready to walk with God and follow him the rest of my life.
That's powerful, because it really, for a lot of people, must force them to look at, have I really repented? Is my religious experience sort of just a surface emotional experience, or have I truly repented and then sought that baptism so that I could receive or can receive the baptism of the Spirit?
Absolutely. They need to seriously reflect on it, and it is a major step. It is a step that people should consider and counsel about. not something to be taken lightly because, as we said, it does affect your eternity.
You know, that really brings us to another question, and people who know the Bible would ask this question. I mean, if water baptism symbolizes, as you said, the washing away of sin, okay, so that we repent, and there's a symbol that we go under the water and sins are washed. We are now clean before God. If that's the symbol, then why did Jesus, who lived a sinless life, why did he go through water baptism?
Well, I believe that Jesus Christ was baptized to set his disciples an example. He did not need to be baptized for the remission of sins, for he was perfect. He did not sin. But since he lived that perfect life, as an example to all of us of the way we need to be walking and living, he was baptized to show us an example, not because he needed to be forgiven of any sins.
Okay, so that's a powerful statement, though. I mean, it's God gives us commands, and Christ gives us, when he was on the earth, gave us commands. But an example is very powerful, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know.
It's interesting, too, he did not have hands laid on him. I mean, he was the Spirit of God. So
that's right. The Holy Spirit came to him, and of course he was conceived of the Holy Spirit from the time he was impregnated into the womb of Mary, his mother.
So he didn't need the baptism of the Spirit the way others do.
No.
Okay. So he did not receive a baptism for the remission of sins. Now, through baptism, through the receiving of the Holy Spirit, a person is brought into the church, into the church of God. How do you become a member of the church that Jesus built? We'll be back with Gary Antion right after this.
Life today is a lonely wilderness of confusion. While hundreds of different religions ponder the question of eternal life, most people are totally confused about what it is and what the Bible actually says. By calling 1-800-966-9232 now, you can have your copy of The Road to Eternal Life, a booklet which will teach you what Jesus Christ and the prophets said about the true spiritual way to successful living and the process leading to life eternal. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Road to Eternal Life. There will be no follow-up or request for money. It's absolutely free. Find out about living your life to its full, wonderful potential. Call now for your copy of The Road to Eternal Life. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the good news behind the headlines.
Welcome back. Remember to get your free copy of The Road to Eternal Life. Now, all you have to do is call 1-800-966-9232, 1-800-966-9232 for The Road to Eternal Life. And we're never going to ask you for money. There's no charge for this. It's free. It's too important of information to ask money for. So call today and get your copy. We're back with Gary Antion discussing what the New Testament teaches about baptisms, plural. We've talked about water baptism. We've talked about baptism of the Spirit. We've talked about baptism of fire. Now, to pick up where we left off here in the last segment, Gary, does the Bible teach and should children be baptized?
Baptism is a decision for a mature-minded person. Children do not understand the deep concept of repentance for their past sins and for themselves. They do not have that deep belief and understanding to be ready for baptism. Now, while many children are beautiful and children have such a simplistic view toward God and understanding, they're wonderful. Nobody ever would gainsay them as individuals. Yet, baptism requires a mature commitment. This custom of infant baptism comes from the desire to remove original sin from them so that they may be later, quote, confirmed, unquote, when viewed as more mature. Original sin is another entire topic which we don't have time to discuss today. However, suffice it to say, this is not the teaching of the Scriptures to baptize infants.
Well, even Jesus Christ saying, repent, John the Baptist saying, repent, How can a child repent? I mean, that's a concept that takes a deep understanding.
Well, many children cannot even have reverse thinking until they're 7 or 8 years old. Right. So to baptize them younger than that, and but again, it's all based on the concept of you want to remove the original sin, which, again, we do not see scripturally.
Okay. Now, when we look at the New Testament, we look at apostles like Peter and John and Paul, and when they baptized people for the remission of sins, it was also seen as initiation rite. They were being brought into the church. How is baptism an initiation rite?
Well, since baptism was viewed as a covenant with God, the significance of it is like an initiatory rite. Baptism is a beginning of a new relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 12 talks about that, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And you begin that road to eternal life at baptism.
Now, you know, when you look at the Old Covenant, the Abrahamic Covenant, well, a number of the covenants in the Old Testament, the Abrahamic Covenant, the Sinai Covenant, there was a rite that people had to go through to show and to participate in those covenants, and it was called circumcision. Males had to be circumcised. Now, it's interesting that Paul actually compares water baptism to circumcision. Now, why does he compare these two rites and these two rituals as being compatible?
Well, certainly the aspect of the covenant makes baptism an apt comparison. Israelites were circumcised as a token of their covenant relationship with God, and they were to receive the blessings from God if they were to receive the blessings from God and inherit the promised land. But in like manner, baptism is a sign that a person has accepted Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on that particular person's behalf, and is desirous of the blessings of inheriting the kingdom of God and eternal life. Romans 2, verses 28 and 29 compares circumcision of the flesh with circumcision of the heart. It involved a change of flesh in the sense of physical circumcision, and a change of heart in the sense of baptism.
You know, that really makes it important also in understanding baptism. If a person isn't baptized, they have no covenant with God.
That's right. They do not make a commitment. They have not made that agreement with God. It's really an agreement that I will walk with you the rest of my life in return for you forgiving me of my sins, and I will be your servant forever.
We're sort of back now where we began. How important is water baptism, spirit baptism, if a person really wants to be a true follower of Jesus Christ?
Well, Jesus Christ gave the answer, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." One's eternal life is at stake. If a person hasn't been baptized in the appropriate manner after believing and repenting, that person should re-examine him or herself to understand if they truly were ready to make that personal covenant with God and be baptized. Eternal life is at stake.
Now, these are powerful statements, Gary, and we're about out of time, so I want to thank you once again for being with us on Good News Radio.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
I want to go to the mailbag. We received an email from a gentleman who took exception to my stating that the Bible and the Book of Mormon are not equal in divine revelation. Well, here on Good News Radio, we believe that the Bible is unique in its divine origins. And while other religious books may contain elements of truth, the Bible stands alone as the inspired Word of God. And this position is the basis of every program we do. If you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, and we occasionally read mail, both the good and the bad here on the air, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. And in order to get your free copy of The Road to Eternal Life, call 1-800-966-9232. No one's going to ask you for money. All literature offered on this program is free. And if you would like to hear the Good News Radio program online, just type ucg.org in the search box and click on the Good News Radio icon. All of the programs are archived and available for you to listen online anytime. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Life today is a lonely wilderness of confusion. While hundreds of different religions ponder the question of eternal life, Most people are totally confused about what it is and what the Bible actually says. By calling 1-800-966-9232 now, you can have your copy of The Road to Eternal Life, a booklet which will teach you what Jesus Christ and the prophets said about the true spiritual way to successful living and the process leading to life eternal. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Road to Eternal Life. There will be no follow-up or request for money. It's absolutely free. Find out about living your life to its full, wonderful potential. Call now for your copy of The Road to Eternal Life. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.